greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Privileged to be here again to worship this morning, especially this time of the year as we think of Christ's birth and remember why Jesus came to earth, the meaning of why he came and his plan of salvation for us. I also appreciated what's been shared this morning. Maybe it's a sign I'm getting older, I don't know, but I guess the last few years I have a concern that especially me and my life and our people, that we maybe have gotten a little bit distracted sometimes from what the true meaning of Christmas is, and that we get caught up in the many other things that go on around this holiday season. And I appreciate the emphasis this morning, and I want to continue on with that of drawing us back to why Jesus came. I just thought, before I go into the main part of the message, I was going to give a couple verses here of the account of Jesus' birth, just kind of as an overview and kind of as a springboard into the main part of the message here of the real meaning of why Jesus came. I have just a couple verses I'm going to read quickly here. Matthew 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Luke 2, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Verse 29 of the same chapter, this is Simeon talking in the temple, prophesying, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And I just like to notice the emphasis here, the thread that goes through these writers here, and that is salvation. The coming of Jesus was for our salvation. Notice they didn't emphasize that a baby was born. They emphasized that the Savior was born, the Savior that will come to save all people. And I just noticed how they seen beyond the circumstances that the baby was born in. And that, you know, the Christmas, the birth is a beautiful story to us and the circumstances that it was under. And it, you know, we feel pity for this poor little baby born in the manger, in the stable. But let's not forget that our Savior was born there, and let's not get distracted by all the activity and everything that goes on around this Christmas time. But remember also in Matthew it says that he should be called Emmanuel, God with us. And God is here with us in our hearts still this morning as a result of what happened back many years ago. The title of the message this morning is, "Who Do You Worship?" This morning, who do I worship? I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 2. Thinking of the wise men here. And the wise men, this is another interesting part of the Christmas story, but they came looking for the king. It says, "We are come to worship him." I'd like to read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So notice the wise men here come and their request. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We want to worship this king that has come. And they weren't searching just for a cute little baby either. They were searching for a king that had come. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details on the story here. There's a lot of opinions, supposition, where the wise men were from. That is interesting to me as well, but I'm not going to go there this morning. But I just want to gain some lessons from what we have here in the chapter. And the important thing is not really where these men were from, but the important thing was that they recognized that a great king had been born and they wanted to come and worship this king. And I don't know how much they understood, but obviously they recognized that something important had happened. And I'd like to look just pick out some things here. First of all, I'd like to look at the star a little bit. And again, here's something else. We don't know what it was, but obviously these men were familiar with the night sky enough that they recognized that this was something different. Something had happened that they needed to check into. And obviously they must have known some of the prophecies. They obviously had at least a little bit of knowledge of prophecy concerning a king. And so they saw this star in the sky, and there's a lot of supposition what that would have been. I've heard comments, the planets, but I personally, I'd like to think that the special birth of the King, God's Son, that God placed a special light in the sky to note that something special had happened. That's just my supposition on that point, but I'd like to think that. But I do see, I think it's significant that it is a light in a dark sky that's a symbol of Christ coming. A light to show them, to show people the way in the darkness. And there's a couple scriptures that prophesy of that. Numbers 24, verse 17. This is Balaam prophesying. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and his scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Sheth. A star coming. Also Zacharias, prophesying here. Brother Tim read this, but it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And Jesus also refers to himself as the light. John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so I believe this is an interesting symbol that the people were in great spiritual darkness right then, and this light shone in the sky. And as we follow Jesus, as he is that light that has come and is brighter now, we don't have to walk in darkness as the people that don't know Jesus did. We have the light to guide us. And in turn, as we follow Christ, that light is reflected in us to the world around us. Appreciated Brother Jason's thoughts on that as well. I had the one verse down here, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And think how the star, it appears like this light, the star, maybe wasn't visible to the wise men all the way. As when they were in Jerusalem, the star was not visible, but as they moved on to Bethlehem, the star appeared to them again as a confirmation that they were going in the right way. And as we continue following God, his light will be there. We have the confirmation that we are going the right way. So the wise men, when they came to Jerusalem, they came and they probably did what was the obvious thing to do. They went and asked the King Herod, where do I come and worship the new the new king that has been born. And I don't know how much they knew about Herod, but Herod, he's known in history as Herod the Great, and he is known as a very cruel man and a proud man. And we have later on in the chapter here where he killed all the babies in Bethlehem here just to make sure he killed the king. We know that he didn't accomplish that, but he was very cruel. His family, he killed a couple of his sons, a couple of his wives. He had 10 wives over the course of his life that he saw as a threat to his ambition, so he just got rid of them. Just want to insert a thought here that worship takes humility. If we are proud, truly, if we are really proud of something, we see ourselves as better, we're not going to fall down and worship something that we see as less than us. And so we have here Herod, the very proud man. And this is at the end of his life. He's been proud. He's worked himself to this position for years. Here we have Herod faced with a choice. Is he going to admit that there's a greater king than him, or is he going to get rid of this like he's done all of the other threats in his life? And Herod claimed to be a Jew. His father, I believe it was, had converted to Judaism, and he knew the scriptures. He should have known that a Messiah was coming. He had access, but instead he chose to get rid of this threat as he seen it to his kingdom. And in doing that, he missed his chance to be one of the first to welcome the king of the Jews. You think about that he could have went with the wise men and worshipped as well. I like to think of the wise men a little more in detail here. They had come, apparently, probably from quite a ways away. It would appear like it was a pretty long journey they had, and some of that it seems like they weren't very familiar with Jerusalem and the area there. But they came with one purpose, and that was that they were going to worship. And they were willing to give up a lot of things in pursuit of worshiping this king that they thought was so great. They were willing to spend time. It took time. This long journey took time. The gifts were expensive gifts. The gifts took money. They were willing to give that for what they recognized as important. And they weren't distracted. They went to Jerusalem, and it seemed like there was some confusion there. The priests weren't sure what had happened. Herod didn't know about this new king. But they didn't get distracted. They found where to go, and they continued on. And even, Herod wanted them to come back, but they kept following God's leading as he appeared to them. And so the question comes to each of us today. Who are we worshiping today? Or what are we worshiping today? And how serious are we in our pursuit of worship? How much effort do we expend? Maybe we should back up just a bit further and ask, what is worship? And the Greek meanings of the word worship would be of revering someone, hold them up higher than ourselves, to adore someone. Literally, it says like a dog licking its master's hand. It recognizes the dog. The dog recognizes his master for who he is. And so what does our worship of Jesus consist of today? In the Old Covenant, it was a lot more bringing gifts to God, bringing the first fruits. They were required to bring the first fruits of their crops and things. And they would bow down before someone and show reverence to them. And today we don't do that as such, but we still, I believe, as we worship God and have that reverence before him, we are willing to give of our give of our finances, give of our how God has blessed us and of our talents to the one that we worship. And the negative of that is it's always been the tendency of man to go clear back to the time of Cain, where we try to earn favor with God with our gifts. Instead of getting down to the hard issue, we want to try to please God with things and with doing things to please Him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So doing the right things here isn't enough to earn our salvation. God sees that and He detests hypocrisy here. The good works to cover up our carnal insides really just is very distasteful to Him. Let's turn to John chapter 4. Verse 23, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so worship, true worship, comes a lot deeper than just giving outward gifts to God. It comes from our very innermost being, our soul, the very, very core of our nature. And the good, as a result of our core nature being total worship to God, the good deeds will also come out and follow. It'll be a result of what has happened in our true worship to God. One of the Ten Commandments was to have no other gods before Him, before God. And we talk about that sometimes, what is an idol today. And we identify that as things that we worship, things that take our attention away from God, and that's all true. And we look at things in our lives and we talk about our work, sports, our hobbies, things like that. And I think some of these have their proper place, some of them don't. But I think if you would just sum all that down, it comes to worship of ourself more than worship of God. And you think about all the time and energy and money that is spent in worship of self and of doing things just for ourself. And I think some of this, it comes closer to me that I'd like to admit sometimes that I am more willing to do things just to please myself than in worship to God. So I'd like to move on and compare, think of our lives in comparison with the journey of the wise men. And we also have seen, as it were, the star in the east. We've seen God's light shining for us. We recognize the need of worshiping God. And we actually have a lot more fuller understanding than the wise men did, but of who Jesus is, who He came as, and that He is our King, and that He is worthy of our worship. And it is worth our best effort. I don't know if the wise men gave it their best effort. They gave it a good effort. But we know that worship of Jesus, our King, is worth our very best effort. And we need to be willing to do what it takes to worship Him. And this means getting us out of our comfort zone sometimes, at least for me it has. For the wise men, it meant a long journey, and even today it can mean time off work. It can mean giving of our money and our time for things that financially probably don't make sense. And that We can look foolish to those around us, to our neighbors. But what is worth it for worship to the King? And it also means not getting distracted by the things that we face on our journey. And I'm sure the wise men faced many distractions, many discouragements, and we also, as we journey on, can face many distractions. And as we mentioned at the beginning, I think even the Christmas season can end up being a distraction. The way our society has gone to celebrating Christmas can be end up just being a distraction in our journey instead of a help for it. And so the journey means keeping on. It's just not a one-time event in our lives, that we continue on day after day and continue to be open to the leading of God in our lives. Sometimes our well-laid plans have to change. The wise men ended up going home by a different way. But the important thing is for us that we keep on following God, keep on with the goal to worship Him. And again, the question, who do I worship? Is it Jesus, the King of the Jews, our King in our lives? Or is it our own selfish desires? And may God help us as we journey on. May we worship Him each day. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Jesus, that He came as a baby, but He came as our King and our Savior. And we, Lord, just help us today and this coming week to be grateful for that, to keep that in our focus as we continue on through life here. Just pray You bless each one for being here today. Pray You bless the service at UGM this afternoon and those that will be sharing Your word and song there, and the one that will be sharing the message there as well. We just ask that Your will be done, that Your name would be glorified there as well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, song.
Christian Hymnal 374.